On December 24th, 1951, an opera called Amahl and the Night Visitors by the composer Giancarlo Menotti was, if you can believe it, broadcast on live TV, carried by NBC. This one-act opera has a libretto in English, and it was inspired by the painting The Adoration of the Magi by Hieronymus Bosch. It featured a boy soprano in the lead role of the child Amahl. Now, this opera tells a story, a Christmas story, though it's not found in Scripture. It is a story of a poor woman who has one son, Amahl, and Amahl walks with the aid of a crutch. And the story begins with this poor family having run out of food, run out of firewood. It is dark and it is cold. Just before they go to sleep, Amahl is outside gazing at the heavens as he does. But this night, he sees a star he has never seen before. He doesn't want to go to sleep, but his mother finally gets him in the house. They go to sleep, and while they are sleeping, there's a loud knock on the door. And when Amahl opens the door, there are three kings, mysterious kings, who say they're following the light of a new star. So the kings are invited in, the shepherds are summoned to bring them food. The shepherds entertain these royal visitors with songs and with dancing. And when the shepherds leave, Amahl and his mother and the kings go to sleep in their modest house. But during the night, Amahl's mother doesn't sleep. She ponders the gifts these kings have brought, including the gold. They tell her this gold is for a child who will save humanity. And she wonders, a child? Could it be my child? She also wonders why, if the child they are seeking is a king, he would need all that gold. Surely he doesn't need it all. He wouldn't miss a small amount, because just a small portion of that gold would save her and her son from starvation. So after thinking about it, Amahl's mother decides she's going to take just a little of the gold. The kings awake immediately. They shout, "Thief!" Amahl becomes indignant, becomes angry with the kings, and says he's going to fight them if they lay a finger on his mother. He drops his crutch, and he finds he can walk. It's miraculous. He can walk, he can dance, he can run. The kings attribute this healing to the child they seek. And in thanksgiving, Amahl decides he's going to go with the kings. He's going to bring his crutch to this child who is born. He's going to bring his crutch as a thank offering. And he adds, just in case, maybe that child will need a crutch too. This opera reminds us that Jesus' birth brings hope to people who live in places and most need hope. The baby of Bethlehem comes to those sitting in darkness, to those who mourn, to people who despair. Jesus is born to exalt the poor and the lowly, to fill the hungry, to raise up those who are cast down. Jesus is born and hope is kindled, especially for the forgotten and the oppressed. Tonight we heard that familiar gospel reading taken from Luke's gospel, as we do every Christmas Eve. We heard of Mary and Joseph seeking shelter in the animal stable, the newborn baby placed in a feeding trough. Maybe you can picture that scene. Maybe you can imagine the shepherds on the hillside near Bethlehem being with their flocks that they have gathered for the night to keep them safe. Maybe you can hear that angel song, the heavenly host praising God after the angel announces the birth of the Savior of the world. For so many of us, these words are so well known, maybe even are part of us. Maybe they evoke emotions for us. Maybe we find comfort in them. Perhaps hearing them, we have memories of Christmases past. In their familiarity, we might experience a time of peace, of comfort this Christmas Eve. But precisely because they are so familiar, I wonder if the words from Luke may not have their full import, may not have the effect on us as if we were hearing them for the first time. Maybe we miss parts of this story. Maybe we don't fully grasp the deep truth about God's intention for the world that Luke is telling us. In tonight's story, Luke begins by mentioning some rulers, Emperor Augustus, Quirinius. These folks rule over the people. They make decisions affecting the lives of ordinary people. In fact, to bolster their power and enrich their treasuries, Mary and Joseph are responding to those rulers. They have to take part in a census. The census was used to count the people for taxation, and it meant traveling to Joseph's city of Bethlehem. And so while the rich rulers sit in their comfortable palaces, the poor have to respond to their whims. And in the midst of this enrollment, Mary's time to give birth to her son comes, and they have no place to stay. So they seek lodging in a stable with animals. God chooses this poor, unmarried couple to bring forth the Son of God into the world. The Savior is not born at that emperor's palace or at the governor's house, but in an animal shelter. And the rich and the wealthy are not the ones who are told about this birth. Instead, it is shepherds, nomadic people living figuratively and literally at the margins of society. They are the first to hear this extraordinary news. In the first century, shepherds were considered not quite wholesome people. And yet, God surprises by choosing the shepherds to be the first to hear the news and gives the shepherds that important mission of going and sharing the story of God's action. And so they leave their hillside, they go to Bethlehem, and they are the first to visit Mary and Joseph and the newborn child. Later in Luke's gospel, we hear the story of King Herod, who's a very insecure ruler, who hears of the birth of this baby by kings who visit him. They come from the east, they're astrologers, they follow a star announcing the Savior's birth. But Herod is afraid for his throne, so he orders the murder of all baby boys in Bethlehem. And the child Jesus is saved only because Joseph takes Jesus with his mother Mary to Egypt, where they are refugees. Rather than that gentle, peaceful scene that we see in crash scenes like this, the story of this night is one full of poverty, of danger, of greed, of murder, of outright evil. Jesus is born into that world. Jesus is born into the full reality of our human condition, entering into our world and into our lives that we might be changed. Jesus comes to usher in a new creation, a new vision for how to live. Jesus comes with the call to new life, to the promise of abundant life, life that is stronger even than the power of death. Jesus, from the night of his birth throughout his earthly life and ministry and teaching, shows the power of God's love, how God's love can set us free from whatever binds us. Jesus reaches out across the artificial divides of our culture, the boundaries that we live and sometimes die for, and erases them by loving all people. Jesus loves those especially without power, those society says are of little value. And Jesus not only says this, but lives it, and it instills hope. In his death on the cross, fear and despair are defeated, and the power of death is destroyed. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus sets us free that we can live with love, that we can love without counting the cost. The good news of this holy night is God has come among us. God enters into the fullness of our human condition. It does not happen in the ways we might expect. God comes as the most vulnerable, a poor baby in a stable, showing us how we too are to love as he loves, especially loving those who are least. In our first lesson from the prophet Isaiah, we heard the words, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." The light that shines this night is strong enough to shine to the very places that are dark, to the dark places of our lives and of our world. The light that shines this night is strong enough to defeat sin and death. And we are called to live in this light, to let the light of God's love fill our hearts, to allow this light to enlighten us, to heal us. This is the light that comforts us when we grieve and mourn. This light sets us free from whatever holds us back, from whatever impedes us from following God in loving fully. And so just as the shepherds were called to Bethlehem, we too are called to go. We are called to go forth walking by this light, allowing God to illumine our path before us. As we travel going where Jesus leads us, we are also called to reflect this light, so that the powers of darkness, which seem so strong this night in our world, may be subdued by something stronger, by that light of God, by the eternal promise of the light that cannot be extinguished. And so my prayer this night for you and for me is that Jesus be born in us, just as he was in that stable in Bethlehem. May Jesus find in our hearts a spacious room to enter and be born in. May the love of Jesus fill our hearts so much that that love overflows us, that we share that abundant love of God with others, that the abundant love of God made known to us in this vulnerable baby of Bethlehem sweep over this world this night. May we share God's love with all people, that everyone knows the good news that we proclaim this night. Christ is born. Love stronger than the darkness of evil and death has entered this world, and that light will never go out. No power of this world will ever extinguish it. And may we always walk by the power of this light. I want to close with a poem by Madeleine L'Engle called First Coming. He did not wait till the world was ready, till men and nations were at peace. He came when the heavens were unsteady and prisoners cried out for release. He did not wait for the perfect time. He came when the need was deep and great. He dined with sinners in all their grime, turned water into wine. He did not wait till hearts were pure. In joy, he came to a tarnished world of sin and doubt. To a world like ours, of anguish, shame, he came, and his light would not go out. He came to a world which did not mesh, to heal its tangles, shield its scorn. In the mystery of the Word made flesh, the Maker of the stars was born. We cannot wait till the world is sane to raise our songs with joyful voice. For to share our grief, to touch our pain, he came with love. Rejoice. Rejoice.